name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week, I was reading a newspaper op-ed piece which focused on the extraordinary and extreme rhetoric being used throughout the current election. The author made the following observation. It is not the words that an individual speaks that are important, but it is what the people hear that is important. And those two things are not always the same. It is not the words that an individual speaks that are important, but it is what the people hear that is important. I think there's great wisdom in that observation. And after preaching this sermon last night at Faith at Five, a parishioner sent me a similar quote from Alan Greenspan, who said, "I know you think you understood what you thought I said, but I am not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." Both sentiments reminded me of an exercise my professor of homiletics, i.e., crafting a sermon, used to do with us students in seminary. When we were assigned the task of writing a sermon, as a part of that exercise, we were also asked, on a separate piece of paper, to very briefly summarize what points we were trying to make. That summary was handed in to the professor, and then we delivered our sermon to the class. At the end of the sermon, as part of the feedback process, the professor invited the class to verbalize what they had heard from the sermon, and he would write those comments on the blackboard. He then would share what the preacher thought he or she had wanted to say. It was a fascinating process, as usually there was a fair degree of difference between what the preacher intended to say and what the class heard. And my personal experience even today is similar. At times, someone will make a specific comment about what they found meaningful in my sermon, and I think to myself, that's not what I meant to say. But I've learned just to say thank you, trusting the fact that they needed to hear what they needed to hear at the time, even though my objective might have been different. As the op-ed author wrote, it is not the words that an individual speaks that are important, but it is what the people hear that's important. I want to use that perspective as background, as we wrestle with Luke's gospel this morning. 2 weeks ago, when I preached, there was such a clear directive from Paul's letter to the Colossians. He wrote, "But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and forgiveness." And suddenly this week, Scripture tells us the words from Jesus, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I bring division. From now on, households will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and we even get into the in-law problem." Jesus seems to be inciting a dangerous family feud among his followers. So how do we reconcile those words of Jesus, is what he is literally saying is what we need to be literally hearing? The answer is no. But we can only hear that no if we put this scripture in the context of that time and place. Jesus knows that he is headed towards Jerusalem, both geographically and theologically. He knows the time to complete his ministry is growing short. He knows he will be crucified. He knows that his disciples are what we might call at this point slow learners. They do not understand the sense of urgency that Jesus feels. As a result, Jesus changes his strategy. Prior to this time, he has been somewhat patient and measured in his teaching. But now he goes on the offensive and does so by attacking the households. In the first century world, the household was the centerpiece of that society. It was the fundamental building block for the culture. The family unit represented security and survival. By claiming to bring division and not peace to those building blocks, Jesus is portraying how vastly radical the nature of his teachings are. He is suggesting that God will generate a collapse of the current structure of their way of living. In short, Jesus is saying that he has not come to validate human institutions and the normal patterns of life. Rather, he is demonstrating a whole new way that will change the world. That concept is what he wanted them to hear. Wanted them to hear then, and for us to hear now. In order for the disciples to hear those words of change, he had to verbalize a shocking perspective. An additional insight here is also the notion that change is facilitated by disruption, that good can follow the bad, that new life can flow out of death, that sometimes tragedy is the birthplace for redemption and transformation. Just this past week, we are seeing such an example in our own city. The report about the Baltimore City Police Department from the Department of Justice is hard to hear. The words and examples are harsh and stunning, and they are truthful and consistent with subjective narratives. But what is it we need to hear? Not what does the report say, but what do we need to hear? I would suggest a renewed sense of energy in making change where called for. I would suggest an ongoing commitment to make our city stronger. I would suggest a personal engagement from each one of us in our own way, however that fits within our unique gifts and interests. To ask, how will I participate? How will our congregation participate? I may be naive, but I feel we have lived through the worst of the chaos, and we are now at a solid beginning of deep and positive change. There is momentum on many fronts. I also feel the vitality from this church to be a partner in a variety of current and upcoming initiatives. As we enter the program year in a few short weeks, there will be many words offered about these initiatives. But remember, it is not the words that are spoken that are important, but it is what the people hear that is important. What do you hear? Amen.